Okay, welcome. We all know how fast information moves, especially in these really dynamic sectors. So our mission today really is to cut through some of that noise. We're going to give you a sharp, insightful deep dive into the top catastrophe bond and insurance-linked securities market stories, specifically from the past week, the one ending August 31st, 2025. And we're drawing our insights straight from Artemis.bm, the leading publisher, really known for breaking stories in this space.
Absolutely. And understanding these shifts is, well, it's vital. This isn't just some obscure corner of finance anymore. It's a market that's evolving incredibly quickly, and it fundamentally impacts, global risk management, investment strategies, and even how we actually recover from major natural disasters. So, yeah, think of this deep dive as your express lane to grasping what's truly shaping reinsurance right now.
Right. And the big picture, it really starts to sharpen when you look at the numbers. Aon Securities just recorded that alternative capital and reinsurance, that's the money from institutional investors, basically it's hit a new record, $121 billion as of mid-2025. That's quite something.
It really is. And what's fascinating is how this is happening. It's mainly driven by strong growth in catastrophe bonds and also those expanding sidecar sectors.
Okay, so cat bonds and sidecars are the big drivers here, but why now? What makes them so attractive in this particular environment?
Well, these growth drivers, they feed right into the wider market dynamics. You see AM Best, for instance, they're seeing, quote, "all indications point to continued growth for the cat bond market." And that's even with record issuance kind of reshaping the pricing landscape.
So more money flowing in, continued growth expected, even if pricing is adjusting.
Exactly. It's not just about more volume. It signifies, I think, a deeper reliance, a more integrated reliance on institutional investment. It's fundamentally shifting some of the power dynamics within reinsurance itself.
Okay, but here's another layer from AM Best that caught my eye. They're suggesting the reinsurance market cycle itself, the ups and downs, it's actually become more subdued. We're not seeing those really dramatic swings like we used to.
That's a really key observation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you connect that to the bigger picture, this newfound stability, it's being put down to, well, sound risk management, strategic use of technology, and crucially, that maturing partnership with alternative capital like ILS.
Right, the alternative capital smoothing things out, maybe.
Sort of acting as a buffer, perhaps.
Yeah.
And it raises an interesting question, what does a hard market softening phase really mean if the whole cycle is less volatile?
That's exactly it. David Flandreau over at Howden Re, he noted we are, and I quote, "firmly in the hard market softening phase of the rating cycle." So rates are easing off their peaks, but, and this is important, property catastrophe risk, it remains profitable. It's not like prices are collapsing.
It's a calculated adjustment, not a free fall back to, say, pre-hard market levels.
So does this mean hard and soft markets are becoming obsolete terms or just evolving?
I'd say definitely evolving. This stability, it's potentially a game changer for longer term planning. It suggests a market that's, learning to adapt better, integrating this new capital, managing volatility rather than just reacting cycle by cycle.
Okay, so beyond these big market trends, we're also seeing some really interesting strategic chess moves by key players. What's standing out for you there this week?
Oh, quite a few significant developments, actually. First, over at Nephila Capital, Jessica Laird's been promoted to CEO, and co-founder Frank Majors is stepping back a bit, focusing more on ILS portfolio construction that's structuring these investments.
So a leadership shift, but reinforcing that core ILS expertise at one of the biggest, longest standing managers.
Precisely. Then there's the huge news about Sompo Holdings acquiring Aspen Insurance Holdings,
Yeah.
a $3.5 billion deal. And interestingly, they specifically called out Aspen Capital Markets. That's their alternative capital unit.
Right.
That's a key benefit and a highly differentiated product offering.
Wow. So these alternative capital arms are becoming like premium assets in big M&A deals now, a real differentiator.
Absolutely. It shows how central they've become strategically. And look at Enstar, too. They're a major legacy specialist dealing with old insurance portfolios. They've just launched their first direct third-party capital play. It's called Scar Hill Re Ltd., a $300 million casualty reinsurance sidecar backed by institutional investors.
So even the legacy players are finding ways to bring in external capital through these structures, expanding the model.
Exactly. It shows the broadening appeal. And finally, we're seeing significant talent movement as well. People like Benjamin Baltazar becoming head of portfolio and analytics for Partner Capital Management, and Paul Larrett is now head of private ILS for 12 Securis. These hires just illustrate how the market structure is evolving, getting more specialized.
Yeah, that flurry of activity, leadership changes, acquisitions focusing on ILS units, new sidecars, key hires, it really demonstrates the real-world impact of that record $121 billion figure we started with.
It all connects.
So wrapping up today's deep dive, it's clearly been a dynamic week. We've seen record alternative capital levels, continued growth in cat bonds and sidecars, and these strategic shifts among major players really underscore the value they place on this alternative capital.
That's right. I think the core takeaway is pretty clear. The alternative capital market, especially cat bonds and sidecars, isn't just getting bigger. It's fundamentally reshaping the whole reinsurance landscape. It's offering these new, often innovative ways to transfer risk and for investors to participate.
Right. So considering all these shifts we've talked about, here's something to think about. How might this blend of traditional reinsurance and alternative capital continue to evolve? And, you know, what new opportunities or perhaps even challenges could emerge from this for managing global risks in the years ahead? Definitely something to ponder until our next deep dive.